This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, Anna Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for the Babysitter's Club.
Let's get down to business.
Oh, I wanted to say.
To defeat.
Oh.
The Huns.
Who says that?
I don't know. It's like a pop song.
Really?
From the movie Mulan.
Oh, okay. that adds some much needed context. Kids, Tanner, are our business.
Uh-huh.
That's cool to say.
And business is good.
Oh, that adds to it. That's we've talked about this before, but it doesn't come up as often as it should. That's the Babysitter's Club motto.
Kids are our business.
That's how Christy answers the phone. Babysitter's Club, kids are our business.
And business is good.
How cool is that? She doesn't
Very
say
good.
Business is good, but I like
She should.
That. And business is good.
What did
and
we say last week? What does Wolverine say?
By the law of syllogisms, kids are good. Business,
you know what, Jack?
What?
Welcome to the Babysitter's Club Mystery Club. Podcasting is our business.
Okay.
And business is good.
Okay. That's great. We can say
I'm the best at what I do, and what I do is taking care of kids, and what I do isn't very nice.
Okay. See, I feel like that's troubling.
I'm the best there is at taking care of babies, and what I do isn't very nice.
Taking care of babies?
Not the way I do it. I'm Wolverine.
That's what Wolverine says.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. I feel like that doesn't work because what Wolverine does is killing people.
Right.
So it's good to be good at that, and also it's not nice. But if you're looking
I'm the best at what I do, but what I do isn't very profitable. That can be ours.
And that's podcasting.
Yeah, and that's podcasting.
Perfect. Let's
Baby Nation, Jack and I had to do our taxes last week. And I was consulting with my tax professional, and he called Jack, and we were like, oh, do we need to be worried about all the money we made on the podcast? And I was like, nope.
No.
You do not have to be worried about all the money you made on the podcast.
He's like, I've been a CPA for 20 years. I have never seen this little money. Like, technically,
like,
you don't
made
even
how
have
much?
To tell me about this.
Yeah. That's like below the threshold for 1040 EZ.
It's like, did you also find some change on the way here? You don't need to tell me everything.
So we're fine there.
Yeah. Kids are our business. What we do is not very nice. Hi, and welcome to the Babysitter's Club.
Mystery.
Club. I'm Jack Shepherd.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
And what we do here
this
is
week.
Pretty simple. We read the Babysitter's Club Mysteries.
Yes.
By Anne M. Martin and Ellen Miles.
Mostly Ellen Miles.
Yeah, I haven't looked forward, but I think she writes a lot of these. This week. No, why would you look? Don't look. Don't spoil it. I don't want or need to know.
I need to know. I will not be able to rest tonight until I know. You go ahead.
I go ahead what? And what?
Talk about whatever dumb shit you were going to talk about. Baby Nation.
This week, we are talking about a book called The Mystery at Claudia's House. Tanner, do all the houses have mysteries in them?
Good question. Yes.
We know Mallory's got a mystery in the attic.
We know Dawn has the ghost in the corridor. Mm-hmm. We know Christy's house has old Ben Brewer.
The mystery of Mary Ann's house is, how's it still standing? That thing is a fire hazard, am I right?
Mary Ann's house is the same as Dawn's, and it also has the ghost of Oral.
Okay, but I did what I did was a joke.
Stacy's is probably clear. And Jesse's?
No, there's no mystery in Jesse's house.
No. Oof, I'm looking ahead, bud.
Mm.
It's a lot of Ellen Miles, which I'm fine with, and I love, and I'm excited about that, right? Okay? Bless you. This is what we're doing now? We're fucking sneezing on the show now?
Carry on.
It's a lot of Ellen Miles, which I'm excited about.
Smiles for Miles, frowns for Downs.
I've uncovered a secret about next week's episode, and I don't know if you want me to wait until next week's or not. Next week's record.
You can say it.
Babysitter's Club Mystery number 7.
Dawn and the Disappearing
Dawn
Dogs.
Dawn and the Disappearing Dogs.
Better be Nola Thacker.
Authors, Anna Martin, Ellen Miles. Cover art, Dan Brown.
What? Dan fucking Brown? What?
Cover art, Dan Brown.
What? And why didn't they get Nola to do the dogs? I don't know. She's so hurt. She's going to be so hurt.
She's going to be so hurt. But Dan Brown, like the Dan Brown of like...
Yeah, Da Vinci Code. It's a mystery. That's what he does.
But he's the cover artist.
Well, maybe that's where the real mysteries are. Because this week, that's actually a good point. This week, there was no real fucking mystery. We'll get into it. But there was no mystery. It was obvious what was happening all along. Maybe the mysteries are actually in the cover.
Babysitter's Club Mystery Number 8, Jesse and the Jewel Thieves. Author, Anna Martin, Ellen Miles. Cover art, Dan Brown.
Well, who did the cover art for this one?
Let me go look. Hodges Swallow.
What, was he sick? Was she mad at him? We'll have to get into that next week.
Okay.
That's the wrong book.
Yeah, it looks like we have Ellen for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
That's fucking great.
There wasn't a mystery.
She forgot to do a mystery.
Ellen, you forgot to do a mystery? That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
This is a mystery.
Sometimes you forget.
You got to do a mystery. What about we describe this one?
Yes, please.
Okay, what I'm going to have you do is describe it.
You want me to do it? You want me to do the recap?
Yeah, I was thinking.
Okay, I've written one.
Oh, you write these?
It took me all afternoon.
Okay. All right.
But I wrote one.
I will listen in rapt attention. We'll put on some music, probably?
Yes.
Play some
thrilling
tunes.
Music.
Something thrilling, okay?
Yes.
All right, I'll have the producers do that.
Okay. After advertising for a new roommate, Claudia Kishi finds herself living with Janine Kishi. An initially shy woman who soon exhibits strange, obsessive behavior in this psychological thriller. When Claudia realizes that her new roommate is attempting to steal her identity, she pulls away, driving Janine to dangerous levels of dementia. Rated R.
That was quick and dirty, huh? Is that...
Should I find a longer one?
No, I liked it. Is that single white female?
No, it's this book.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Does that also describe... Cause it's very accurate.
Software designer Claudia Kishi has just left her boyfriend, Sam, because he had a sleepover with his ex-wife.
Okay.
She finds a classy Upper West Side apartment and advertises for a single white female like herself to be a roommate. All the perspectives seemed weird until Janine Kishi shows up and appears level-headed, though rather plain-looking. And toting a secret past. Things go fine until Claudia gets back together with Sam and asks Janine to move out. Whereupon, Janine turns jealous, possessive, and resentful. She also starts acting very strange, adopting Claudia's clothes and short orange hairstyle, then aggressively seducing Sam and finally killing people. A bit silly and predictable, and suffused with quite a bit of crude violence and sex, leading up to the cliched horror movie climax, this stylish 1992 thriller is nevertheless buoyed by excellent performances by the two female leads.
Okay, well, let's not editorialize.
That's from allreaders.com, hattipallreaders.com.
I think we shouldn't editorialize in these. I think your first attempt did accurately describe this book.
Okay.
And your second attempt fell apart and is very clearly a description of single white female, which was a sensation.
And I realize now it came out the same year as this book.
Yeah, well, probably directly inspired by. But, and of course, but they were like, but let's have it be white.
Right. Yeah.
They're like, there's a story about these two Japanese-American women. Yeah. I've got an idea.
Like, can we make them white?
And only not one sisters? Of them.
Yeah.
Good. Good description. I loved it. It reminded me of the film. Well, I didn't ever watch Single White Female, but I remember when everybody was talking about it.
You've never seen it?
No.
It's not very good, and I don't think it holds up.
Okay. This was good.
This book?
Yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah, it was good. Janine is in it. Claudia is
Ellen
in it.
Ellen is a workman.
Yeah. She's willing to get her hands dirty.
Yeah.
And she got her hands dirty this week with this novel, The Mystery at Claudia's House. What if I describe it?
You describe it.
Yeah.
I did a good job,
mm-hmm.
and my description was accurate.
Mm-hmm. A little bit too much editorializing for my taste.
But I think there's always room for a second opinion. There's always room for more. There's always room for kind of fleshing it out further. And I think that's where you come in. I'm not expecting much from you.
Let me ask you a question, Tanner.
Okay.
Did you prepare a mysterious clock?
I could now.
Oh.
How many seconds do we put on it?
60 seconds.
Okay.
But it's got to be mysterious.
Second.
I'm thinking like...
You know how in the old one we always did 90 second and it always auto-filled in with keto 90 bread? 90
second keto bread? Well, for you.
This one is 60 second burger run. Do you want to see what that is?
Is it burger time?
It's a game on coolmathgames.com called 60 second burger run.
Okay.
Should I play it on air?
No, because that's going to interfere with my description.
Instructions: use the arrow keys to move around. You have 60 seconds to work through the maze to get to the burger stand, so you better start running. Here we go.
Wait, am I describing it while you play this game?
Okay.
Or you're just going right ahead and playing the game. Think about whether this is good audio for our listeners. You very studiously and quietly playing the game. Just think about, like, you can think about that while you're playing. You don't have to say anything, but think about whether you think this is good audio for our listeners who have taken time out of their busy days to listen.
Oh, I died. Okay. It's not a very fun game, but I'm going to delete Burger Run off of it. 60 second timer in 5, 4.
Somebody is rearranging Claudia's room. It's still messy like normal, but it's messy in a different way. Who the fuck is it? That is the mystery at Claudia's house. Meanwhile, the superb rat is back in town. That's right. He's on hiatus from his hit show, PS162, and he's just trying to be a normal boy. But there's a problem. He has to kiss an actress in the next season of his show, and he doesn't know how to kiss, and then he lies and says he does know how to kiss, and the Pike boys make fun of him for it, and his lies and truth-telling are the subplot of this book. But who's rearranging Claudia's room? It's Janine. She's rearranging it because she's trying to get Claudia's stuff. She's also trying to dress like Claudia and learn makeup like Claudia. And she's being secretive and she's lying to her parents about what she's doing, saying she's going to the library. What's she actually doing? She's hanging out with Jerry. Boyfriend. She has a boyfriend. Janine has a boyfriend. That's the mystery. Superb Rat helps Claudia to solve the mystery because he is playing a detective in the show, Kids Detective. They solve the mystery. Claudia and Janine,
you're out of time.
Have a fight because Claudia rats
hey,
on
Hey, go
her.
To hell. Hey.
But they make up.
Hey.
The end.
Go to hell.
That's everything.
Don't you dare go past your time.
Do you agree that I got everything?
Yeah, it was kind of a plot light book.
There's some fun stuff in it, but it's
fun stuff.
Fairly plot light.
Claudia notices that some of her makeups and fingernail polishes are out of place, and that's the mystery.
Yeah,
and Derek Masters helps her solve it. Janine is kissing Jerry.
We got a cool glimpse inside Claudia's process this week.
What do you mean?
We know that she dresses cool, but we never knew before how she puts it all together.
Oh, yeah. We did get a peek into her beautiful mind.
You want to hear that?
Yes.
Take notes, Baby Nation. I think the outfits I put together spontaneously are much more creative and fun than they would be if I planned each detail ahead of time. For instance, as soon as I looked in my closet that morning, I knew I wanted to wear this pair of black and white checked stretch pants I just bought. I grabbed them and pulled them on. Next, I started to look around for my red belt, since it would be perfect for the black and white. Turns out the belt is being used to hold her binder together, but she goes to ask her mom to find something to take the belt's place. Next, I needed a blouse. I figured a black one or a white one would look fine, so I knew I'd have no problem finding something, but I was wrong. All of her blouses are crumpled up at the bottom of her closet. I shrugged. Okay, I thought, no problem. I remembered that fashion magazines always say to be bold and mix your patterns. That's what I'd do. I checked the closet again and found a black shirt with white polka dots. I held it up and looked in the mirror. The dots next to the checks made me a little dizzy, but I decided that the total effect was just what I had been longing for. I pulled on my red ankle boots, put my hair into a ponytail on the side of my head, fastened with a black and white beret, stuck on my favorite red heart-shaped earrings, and I was ready to go, all in under half an hour. That's how I get dressed almost every morning. It's always a challenge to come up with a super cool outfit on the spur of the moment. Claudia, that's not the spur of the moment. Half an hour is a long time.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Now, I am just very quickly, while you were doing that, doing some
Googling. Were you playing a 60-second burger game?
I was doing a little bit of quick Googling to find, because I guess one of us has to, and you didn't feel like doing it, a Gothic poem.
I was trying to avoid it.
That fits with the segment Claudia's Closet. So
I very carefully and cleverly skirted the necessity to do that so we wouldn't spend a ton of time looking for mystery babies. What we do here on this podcast is Gothic poems for each segment because we wanted to make it nice and easy for ourselves.
What's the one with the heart? Telltale.
That's a book. Short story.
A short story.
I need time for this, Tanner. We can't do it.
We don't have time. Well, we don't have time. We don't have time, Jack. And that's the fun part.
No, it's not fun.
You go.
That's not how poetry works.
You just go.
No, that's not how poetry works.
Okay, I give up.
Yeah,
we'll do that for next week. I guess
we're gonna do it for next week. This week it's called Claudia's Closet, and that's what that was. And there's not even any music.
It's called Claudia's Closet, and there was music, and it was spooky because it's a mystery.
Should we say it? You want to say it? We'll say it in a spooky way.
I don't know. It's fine. I feel like it would be better as Gothic poetry or maybe a Gothic short story.
I can go and write one later and record it, and we can put it in up top.
No, that doesn't sound good.
Okay, good. That's her process. It's very useful to know. She's spontaneous, but not really. And out of her spontaneity comes great things. And it's important because this week she had to do Queer Eye for the Janine guy.
Oh, yeah, she did do that.
Didn't she?
She did Claudia Eye for the Janine guy.
Claudia Eye for the
Janine. Because I don't think she identifies as queer.
No, not that we know of. No, we know that she doesn't, at least in these novels. Claudia Eye for the Janine guy. Things keep getting better. It's our
Claudia Eye for the Janine guy.
Yeah.
Janine is bad at clothes and bad at makeup.
Very
and
bad.
When she doesn't try, she looks like a dork nerd.
Yeah.
She looks like Jack. And when she does try, she does bad and she wears or eyeshadow that doesn't work well with her complexion and clashing colors, and she keeps wearing the same goddamn red sweater again.
Like she borrows Claudia's Ken red Bone. Sweater, and she she borrows Claudia's red sweater, and Claudia's like, sure, I guess. And then like it looks good, but she can't figure out that she needs to borrow a different sweater for the next date.
Yeah.
She stood. I looked her over and took inventory. Straight black hair cut in an old-fashioned Dutch boy style. Black wire-rim glasses. Navy blue crew neck sweater worn over a white blouse with a Peter Pan collar. Pleated knee-length gray wool skirt. Gray knee socks. Brown loafers. In those clothes, she looked like a skinny 12-year-old. Oh boy, I said, sighing. We've got our work cut out for us.
I don't know what most of those things are. No. I don't know what did you say, a Dutch boy?
Yeah, what's a Dutch boy style? Straight black hair cut in an old-fashioned Dutch boy style.
Dutch boy style.
Dutch boy.
I don't know what that means. I know that there's a burger place in Brooklyn called Dutch Boy.
Okay.
So, and it's kind of like a hip place where hip kids hang out.
She's got something called a white blouse with a Peter Pan collar.
Peter Pan collar, and that confuses me too. I don't know what that means.
Okay, so let's think about a Dutch
boy. I do
boy.
Agree. Dutch boy and Peter Pan do make it seem as though she's dressed like a 12-year-old boy, which is the criticism that Claudia had for her.
Peter Pan.
Do you remember in the early 90s, maybe late 80s, Bugle Boy had kind of an icon, Bugle Boy jeans? Do you remember Bugle Boy jeans?
I'll tell you something about Bugle Boy, which I may have told you before, probably many, many years ago on this very podcast. But when I decided to get cool in sixth grade, because I wore sweatpants to school every day, and this very nice girl took me aside, and Alicia took me aside. And
She Alicia eyed you for the Jack guy? Things keep getting
better. Yeah, she took me aside and was like, you're a handsome boy, but you look like garbage because you wear sweatpants every single day. So I went to Bugle Boy and got an entire Bugle Boy outfit, including Bugle Boy jeans and a warm-up jacket that said Bugle Boy on it. But the way that I wore it obscured, like, it was too big for me, and so the B always got hidden, and everybody called me Ugly Boy for the entire year.
That's good.
Yeah.
Ugly Boy.
Yeah.
Was it cool to wear Bugle Boy at that point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Everybody thought that it was like a makeover. It was Alicia I for the Jack guy. People were like, wow.
I did the same thing, except it was Mom I for the Tanner guy.
Yeah.
And it was like sixth grade for me. And it was like, immediately go out and buy the biggest pair of JNCOs you could that has the like skunk embroidered on it and the skunk stripes down the side.
Yeah.
And that was what was cool when I decided to like be cool.
That is cool. And I had those same ones. A Peter Pan collar is, I guess it's green.
That's nothing to me. It's green.
And large.
You know what I imagine, and I don't know if this is right, but I suspect it is.
Hmm.
The thing that's around Kermit the Frog's neck.
Okay. Like a...
You know what I mean?
Cravat.
He's got that, like, it's like kind of like diamond, like, you know. Triangles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly what it is. It's that, and then a pleated knee-length gray wool skirt. That's just a lot of words.
Yeah.
It's the length pleated. Of a knee.
Okay. Whose knee, though? My knee? I'm tall.
I mean... Even a large person's knee is
a baby's
not
knee?
That long. I hope
baby's knee.
It doesn't say.
What if it's a baby's knee and she's going out looking like a hussy?
But she's also got these gray knee socks. So those are socks
so it all
for the
kind
knees,
of blends
right?
Together. Yeah, yeah, that sounds right. Kind of like knee pads.
Yeah, you're a mess, Janine. No wonder you had to do Claudia for the Janine.
But
guy.
She still managed to seduce Jerry.
Oh, man, I watched, like, almost the entire season of Claudia I for the Janine guy in the past couple of nights, and it was just, like, a wreck.
Jamie and I are saving it for when the boy is born.
Don't waste it for when you're, like, non-humans because you're not sleeping. Watch it now when you still can enjoy your lives. You won't get the full enjoyment out of it when, like, you might get harassed halfway through it and you didn't sleep last night. Like, you'll be better off watching, like, reruns of The Office or something.
This boy's going to be a fucking baby, okay?
Yeah, okay.
I'm an adult man. I'm 6'5".
Yeah.
You really think this baby's going to push me around?
Yeah.
Harass me?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You're going to be hopeless.
I don't think so.
You're going to be a wreck. I want to, Tanner, talk to you about Concupiscence.
Air, the movie starring...
Nick Cage.
Okay,
it's a great movie, but you better have a way to bring it to this text within 10 seconds of beginning to talk about it. Because
okay.
It seems like you're just saying that because I said Concupiscence and you wanted to deflect.
Con Air is good, and I remember a few scenes very vividly. His friend who has diabetes.
Mm-mm. Don't look at
who
me
can't
like
get,
that's anything
can't
other
get
than
his insulin because
no.
The cons took over the plane.
Mm-mm. We're
and they landed in that junkyard. Hey, yeah, no. Jack.
Yeah.
Does Claudia happen to have any friends who have diabetes?
Yeah.
Stacy. Okay, so it's
she's
related
not even
back
in
to the
this
text.
Book.
And then I remember
she's
the other
not even
one
in
was
this books.
The other one I remember is the guy Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, he
like,
wanders
tells
around
a story about how he
a
like kills
teddy
a girl.
Bear. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's not relevant. Stacy's
not in this book.
She is in this book, and I want to read a passage about her and relate it back to what I was saying. They're looking after the Pike kids, and the Pike kids in the B-plot are all trying to get Derek Masters, the superb rat, to teach them how to kiss.
Yes.
And so they sneak a phone book so that they can call up Vanessa Pike.
That's
no,
weird, actually.
Sorry,
now
no,
that
no.
I think about it.
They sneak a phone book so they can call up Becca Ramsey.
Oh, right.
So that she can come over and they can practice
with Charlotte.
Kissing with Charlotte and Becca. Nikki... So, and then Stacy discovers the phone book. Nikki called Stacy. Are you guys making phony phone calls? No, said Nikki.
You know what'd be easier?
Okay.
Not taking the phone book out of the Pike family house.
Yeah, just writing it
looking
down.
Up the numbers and writing them down.
Yeah, they sneak a phone book like in his jacket.
Yeah.
Like just fucking write it down.
Just write it down.
Copy it down. Memorize it.
Yeah. Okay.
In those days, you didn't even have to dial the area code.
No.
Nikki called Stacy. Are you guys making phony phone calls? No, said Nikki. No way. We've gotten into trouble for doing that before. We'll never do it again. He sounded so positive that Stacy believed him. She also knew that if they were making phony phone calls, the other boys would be gathered around the phone while Nikki spoke, giggling and acting silly. You might wonder how Stacy knew this. I wondered when she told me about her day at the Masters's, but she wouldn't tell me.
Huh.
Tanner, this is...
Stacy's got a secret.
Stacy's got it.
Stacy's got a secret. Stacy's got a secret.
It's fucking Madonna, dog.
Monster.
It's Madonna. See, don't be an asshole. If you don't know that song, you can go and die.
Who sang the Solomon Grundy song?
Crash Test Dummies. Crash Test Dummies.
Was it Crash Test Dummies?
No.
Because you did a lot of deep humming.
I don't want to talk to you
anymore. And I know that that's kind of like a Crash Test Dummies thing.
Yeah, great. I can do a really good impression of that song, but I'm not going
to. Do it now. Please. No. Do it, please, now.
Once there was this kid got into an accident but wouldn't go to school.
You sound like Adam Sandler doing like a parody version of
it. He finally came back. His hair had turned from black to bright white.
Yeah, okay. That's good. It's a shame those guys didn't make it into the 21st century.
This is a long walk, so you gotta walk with me. This leads me to believe, Tanner, that Stacy herself has made phony phone calls.
Yeah.
As
this
a
is
child.
92. This is early. So there's a canon reset, Baby Nation.
Yeah.
We're back in 92. We're back at the beginning of the sitter cycle. Not the complete beginning, but like, you know, it's not 98 anymore. It's not 99 anymore.
Right.
So Stacy has not had her run-in with the crime girls yet.
No.
Which, but if she had, I would expect that maybe she has done some prank call calls, some funny phone calls.
The strong implication here is that Stacy was a crime girl as a child.
All along.
That she was full, Tanner, full of original sin.
Right.
Which leads me, Tanner,
yes,
to the topic of concupiscence.
Con Air.
No. No. Have you read Confessions?
Yes.
Okay, so you'll know where I'm going with this.
Yes. Do you mean Confessions by... Which Confessions?
Augustine.
Which translation?
I mean, did you read it in translation?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head who's translate. I think probably any server, whatever. Penguin Classics.
Right. Okay. Sure. Yes, I've read that.
Okay. So, Augustine...
Augustine of Hippo?
No, not Augustine of Hippo.
Okay.
The other one.
Okay.
Saint Augustine. I guess they're both saints. Was Hippo Augustine of Hippo?
So you're talking about Confessions, the autobiographical work consisting of 13 books by Saint Augustine of Hippo, written in
it was Augustine
AD 397 and 400, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
The work outlines Saint Augustine's sinful youth and his conversion to Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, I've read that.
Okay. Good. Augustine talks about concupiscence and. He, I feel like, is one of the earliest writers on the topic of original sin. And
concupiscence?
Yeah.
Right. I know it. I know the word.
You do know it?
Yep.
Do you need me to explain it to you?
No, it's like, it's actually where the root for concubine comes from.
Okay.
It's a strong sexual desire, semicolon, lust.
Let's not get graphic.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason we use these difficult words. Augustine believed that the more concupiscence was present during the act of love, the more original sin would be contained in the eventual child. Does that make sense to you?
So the hornier you are for your sexual partner,
mm-hmm,
the naughtier your kid will be.
Yes.
Okay. Huh. Interesting.
And Stacy, we just learned, is
right.
Chock-a-block full of crimes and original sin.
So you think, oh, and I can't even begin to imagine what the parents of all those dudes from Con Air were like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Steve Buscemi's parents in that movie?
Woo.
They were probably like fucking wild about one another.
Wild. But
they
Ed
were
Maureen.
So rock hard for one another.
Yeah. So that's nice. We're a very sex positive podcast. And so we're into it that Ed and Maureen were full, just
wildly
filled
horny.
Their eventual baby with original sin.
Yeah.
But I think that it's really interesting, and the reason that I bring it up is not to get graphic and not to get blue by talking about Augustine before his conversion.
Right.
Uh-oh.
What even was
it's
he?
It's not that kind of podcast. He was naughty. But I think that this is a novel that is in many ways about that. It is about our fallen state. It is about the transition from innocence to experience, and it is particularly about the transition from innocence to experience that is awakened by an interest in the opposite sex, which is explored in Derek's plot with the kissing.
Or sometimes the same sex.
Or, well, in this case, it's the opposite sex in both cases.
In this case.
But
yeah,
by all means, and certainly in the world, it can be many different combinations. Thank you for clarifying that, Tanner.
Yeah.
In this case, Derek's interested in kissing. Janine's interested in makeup, which is sinful. This is a book about our fallen
We're sex
state.
Positive, but we're not necessarily...
Makeup positive.
Like, makeup positive.
No. Well, we haven't discussed it, but we're not, are we?
It's sinful.
Yeah. We agreed that it's sinful.
Right.
We're all fallen, Tanner. Janine has fallen. The Janine, even perfect Janine, who is a paragon.
Right, who's adorable.
Of virtue. She
Janine
is fallen.
Was uncharacteristically un-Janine this week.
And her fallenness comes from lust.
For Jerry.
This is a book about original sin. It's about concupiscence. Also, Con Air is about that. I will give you that.
They walk in beauty night and noon. These handsome men who do their worst, singing their beguiling tune. I find myself immersed in thirst, or as the youth say, hashtag swoon. With hashtag vapors, I've been cursed.
What a good poem that is. This is our hit segment, hashtag swoon, where we talk about the boys that made us horny.
Yeah.
Or as the kids say, hashtag swoon. We introduce it with gothic poetry, as we introduce almost all segments in this podcast. A good segue, and I'll allow it, because we're talking about lust and concupiscence.
Yes.
It's difficult to pronounce. I'm pretty sure that the accent is on the antepenult of that word, but I'm sorry if I'm wrong.
Which word?
Concupiscence.
Concupiscence. Concubine.
I think it's concupiscence rather than concupiscence.
Concupiscence. Well, one has the word piss in it, and the other one doesn't.
Okay, so we're going to go with concupiscence.
Concupiscence.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sorry before that I got confused and thought that Augustine was not Augustine of Hippo. There are two Augustines. I just want people to know that.
Just as I was getting to the really exciting part of the book I was reading, I heard a knock on the door. Come in, I said, expecting my mother. It was Janine. Hi, Claude, she said. Listen, I just want to thank you for being so nice to Jerry. No problem, I said. He's pretty nice himself. He said he thought you were really sweet and cute.
Woo!
I blushed. He's crazy about you, I said. I could tell just by the way he looks at you. Really? Asked Janine. You mean that? Now she was blushing. Well, anyway, she paused for a minute. I'm sorry I got so mad at you.
Beautiful.
And not only is Jerry incredibly hunky, gorgeous boy.
The hunkiest guy ever in these novels, or possibly in the world.
But he thinks
Claudia is cute.
Claudia is
sweet.
Cute and sweet.
Yeah, and he's nice to the family. Here's in case you doubt me. All right, Baby Nation, you're doubting me? Well, listen to the words of Ellen Miles and then feel stupid, okay?
Yeah,
ready?
You feel stupid.
Because this is what Ellen Miles says.
She wrote the fucking book.
Yeah, she wrote the book on
assholes.
Whether this guy's hunky or not.
Right.
Don't call them assholes.
She didn't make him up. Jerry? She didn't make Jerry up. I imagine Jerry came from Pete's character Bible.
Oh, I thought you were saying Pete, but yeah.
Pete.
It might just come from Pete. It might just be Pete. He's the handsomest guy I can think of.
Huh.
Something to think about. Something to think about.
I feel like they would have focused on his feet a lot more if it was Pete.
Yeah, no, they don't mention his feet.
Right.
Let me read this to you, and I recommend you sit down because you might
already am.
Have
I am sitting.
A case of the hashtag vapors and hashtag swoon.
Right.
When I read this. So
I'm sitting.
Okay.
Baby Nation, please sit.
Yeah, please have a seat. Ready? Yeah. Aha, said Derek. See, what did I tell you? There's the person she's meeting. I looked, and my mouth dropped open. There, in front of the school, was the most gorgeous guy I've ever seen. He was tall and strong looking.
Is it me?
He had black hair. and he was dressed in a way cool pair of jeans and a beautiful blue shirt.
Now I'm wearing a black shirt. Fuck. I thought that was me.
That can't be one of Janine's friends, I said. He doesn't have a plastic pen holder in his pocket or a slide rule in his hand. And he has a little red car.
Yeah, that's cool. Woo! I'm a little pissed. That's a pretty good hashtag swoon.
Yeah.
They're walking to Beauty at Noon, handsome men, and do their worst. That, it's good. Mm-hmm. But you also, in doing so, happen to steal my...
Oh, Tom, thou art sick. A very good burn that stings you so right. A knife that doth turn. It gets in your head, but oh so soon it will cause me to call the burn unit.
Another good one.
Burn of the week.
Woo!
The whole thing about the pencil, the plastic thing.
That's a good burn of the week. There are a lot of burns in this book, and they're all on Janine.
Yeah, or Janine's like dorky friend.
That's a really good one. I have one that I like, and I'd like to read it to you.
Okay.
I think that the meta burn of the week is this entire book on Janine, where it's like the mystery, the literal mystery of this book is that like Janine starts wearing makeup and staying out late, and right. then she meets with this mysterious handsome man, and they're all like, "What could it be? Is she a spy?"
Their literal first guess is like, "Oh, he's a drug dealer
yeah.
who has some kind of like dirt on Janine."
Yeah.
And that's why she got in his car.
Yeah. No, she's a red-blooded woman. And she's just as liable to the fallen state of concupiscence as any one of us.
Yeah, she's a regular Mrs. McGill.
She's a regular St. Augustine before his conversion. Am I right? Uh-oh! So what's the big deal, asked Stacy. I mean, I know Janine doesn't usually wear makeup, but after all, she is 16. Maybe she finally decided to look a little more sophisticated. It's not just that, I said. She was late for breakfast, too. Stacy giggled. She's just going wild, she said. I'd call the cops if I were you. It's not funny, I said. But suddenly it was. I imagined the police taking mugshots of Janine and booking her for incompetent makeup application and meal tardiness.
She did do both of those things so poorly.
And she should go to jail.
Yeah. She tried to wear blue eyeliner.
Yeah.
So that's the second time I've made that mistake. Eyeshadow.
What's the difference?
Eye color? What do you call it?
Is that where you tattoo your eyes to be like... Tattoo like the whites eyes. Of your eyes are tattooed to be a... certain color,
different color.
Is that what it is? Have you seen that? It's on the internet. Don't look it up.
Might be, but I don't think so. Is someone who is known to have a pretty severe eye phobia?
Yeah, I don't like talking about
you
it.
You sure do know a lot about eye tattoos.
People keep sending there. There was a time, and I don't want to go down this road, but there was a time in our history, Tanner, where we had a game of mutually assured destruction whereby you would IM me things about eyes.
Yeah.
And I would respond by IMing you things about deaths
plane
in
crashes.
Planes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just goes to show that you have a severe eye phobia and I don't, because I literally don't remember even sending you that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's clearly stuck with you for many years.
Yeah. It's horrible, but that's what eyeshadow is. Unless it's a superhero.
Eyeshadow. That's a good superhero name.
Yeah.
He's kind of like a 40s inspired noir.
Yeah. That sounds cool.
Private Dick.
I used to wear eyeliner a little bit.
Yeah. It was kind of like Green Day phase a little bit. Billy Joel.
During my coolest phase.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like it.
It was my coolest phase.
Sound like it was your coolest phase.
It was the once I fully transitioned from raver dude to like cool indie dude, there was a brief phase that was tight thrift store dress pants.
Yeah.
Way too small for me Adidas track jacket
that you still wear to this
zipped
day.
Down halfway with nothing underneath it.
Oofta.
And a little bit of eyeliner with like coming past the eyes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was very cool.
It was that time, you know, man. Yeah. Everyone was doing it. Not me, obviously. Yeah. I was wearing normal clothes and
yeah,
just kind of living my life.
I wish I could have been around. I could have done a little Jack Eye for the Tanner guy. Things keep getting better. That sounds good. Yeah. Doesn't it?
I think we're kind of at a stage in our lives where maybe you would benefit from Tanner Eye from the Jack for the Jack guy more than the opposite.
Yeah. Well,
at this point, but
Burn of the week on me. What about if we take a break?
Yes, please.
Okay. We'll be back shortly. Goodbye.
Hi all, it's Jack here, and I am super excited to tell you about a new sponsor, the incredible family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. Unfortunately, Tanner is not able to be here for this ad read because he misread the brief, and I'm glad that he's reading the briefs at least, but he thought that he was being assigned on an actual secret mission to find out who really killed June's sister, Claire. Now, I've been enjoying immersing myself in a bygone age of mystery, danger, and romance, and putting my detective skills to the test as I solve hundreds of puzzles whenever I have a free moment to play June's Journey. But Tanner has actually, and this is a quote, booked myself passage on a steamship to New York, which, not to triangulate here, but that's a uniquely bad way to get there from Connecticut. And reading between the lines of the extremely cryptic letters he's been sending me, it sounds like he's making a real nuisance of himself, asking the other passengers questions about their luggage. June's Journey is a murder mystery game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner's Journey, according to the most recent note I got from him, is currently delayed due to what he describes as a miscommunication with the Coast Guard about what exactly a steamship license is. I hate to take sides, but I really feel like I would trust the Coast Guard on this one. Right now, I'm making my way through the adventure of the Hidden Distillery. I love looking for clues and customizing my estate while I'm on hold with some very angry people at a place I've never heard of called the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority. And you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey, and you can download it for free on iOS and Android. Okay, it looks like I'm going to have to go and pick them up.
I'm kind of going in blind here.
Okay. All right.
The only note I took was same can be said of Jack.
Okay.
So do you want me to read the note, the passage I highlighted?
Okay, fine. Better not be insulting them.
Okay.
Was it cuz we already did hashtag swoon. You probably forgot cuz we took a break, but we already did the hashtag swoon segment.
Except for their lack of taste in food and reading material, my parents are basically great people.
That's such a, like, it's like a, I guess it's a backhanded compliment.
it's barely backhanded, though.
The primary takeaway is basically great.
You're basically great.
Basically great.
You just have bad taste in food, which is true because you're vegan.
Okay. Yeah.
And you have to own that one.
On a technicality.
Yeah.
And then reading material. I read widely and interestingly.
So I guess that's really my burn of the week is that. And it's on you.
Okay, let me read you this. Let's get conspiratorial.
Okay.
You get put on your conspiratorial hat.
It's on.
Because I've got two things that go to the core of what we do here. That are, okay, you do have a conspiratorial, okay. Actually, weirdly, does it's R2, okay, that's R2-D2 hat. It looks great.
Little R2-D2 helmet.
It looks good on you. I've got two things I want to talk about that get to the heart of what we do here. I'm just going to tell you this. You ready?
Yep.
This is one of the central recurring motifs in this novel is there's a song on the radio. They don't say who it's by. I imagine it's You For Me, but they don't
say. Could
be Blade. But it's like the hit song. And Claudia's got it stuck in her head, and she's singing it the whole way through the book, little snatches of it.
Yep.
And Janine acts really weird about it. It turns out the reason she's acting weird about it is because it's her song with Jerry, which is pretty forward. They must be hot and heavy if this is their song. Right. But here's how it goes. Your kisses are so sweet. Your lips are like honey. We're so in love, we won't need any money. You know I'll always stay because I love it when you look at me that way. So I'll love you forever. Forever, I'll love you. Tanner, does that or does that not sound like something that bees would sing?
Your lips are like honey really stuck out at me in that one.
And we're so in love, we don't need any money. Something bees don't need.
Right. Now, I think, and this is something we've talked about on the show before, I think bees wiggle their butts.
Oh, yeah.
To communicate? Mm-hmm. Is that in there anywhere?
No, I read all the lyrics.
Well, no, that's only part of the song, though, right?
Yeah, no, these lyrics are spread out through the book. And then later, Claudia says, something weird was going on, but I was too tired to figure it out that night. I fell asleep, and would you believe it, that song kept playing through all my dreams. So she's listening to this bee song in her
dreams. This bee song about kissing honey lips.
Yeah.
I also think they make honey out of their tushies, bees.
Okay,
I actually
no.
don't know. Maybe they throw it up. Maybe honey is bee vomit.
Yeah, I think
How
so.
How do bees make honey?
I think they vomit it.
Okay. So you would have honey lips.
Yeah.
If I spent all day throwing up honey?
Yeah, you would have the honeyest lips.
Right.
Your lips are so sweet. Your kisses are so sweet. Your lips are like honey. That's something a bee would say. That's something a bee would say.
Imagine if there was another animal out there somewhere. That our relationship with it was we take something that you held in your mouth and partially digested and then vomit it out. We take it and it's ours now and we eat it.
Yeah.
And we love it so much.
I try to think if that is a thing.
I don't think it is.
Where does guacamole? No, that's avocados.
That's avocados. And I think those are plant, like fruits.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's just the bees. It's just honey.
I think it's just the bees. Huh. That's pretty fucked up.
That's pretty fucked up.
Huh.
Gross. Technically, I don't eat honey because I'm vegan, but sometimes I do. Because
right.
If you are now, you never were.
Right.
Tanner, let me read you something else.
Yeah.
That gets to the heart of what we do. And it's reminiscent of something that I came up with.
Okay.
I saw this story in a magazine about these people who never, ever mow their lawn. It looks really cool. Like a meadow,
right?
Says Claudia to her mother. Why couldn't we do that? My mom shook her head. It wouldn't work out, she said. The neighbors would be furious with us. About what? Somebody asked. I looked up and saw Mrs. Braddock, who lives nearby. She had walked into our yard carrying a big basket. It's hard to imagine being furious with the Kishi family, she went on. Mom laughed. Don't worry. We were just daydreaming, she said. She stood up and dusted off her mouth.
I brought you some bread. said Mrs. Braddock.
Okay. Here comes opening up Google Chrome, doing a search for Gothic poems.
Well, can I read you the rest of this passage while you do that?
Uh-huh.
My mother and I exchanged a look. Well, I'm sure Janine didn't go to the Pizza Express without telling us, said my mother. She and Mrs. Braddock talked for a little while longer, and then Mrs. Braddock handed us 3 huge loaves of bread from her basket.
I'd better go deliver the rest of these, she said, shaking her head. We'll be supplying bread to the whole neighborhood.
For a while, she laughed. So, well, are you going to... You're writing a poem about bread, Tanner? Do you need me to keep talking? Do you want me to... I'll tell you what I can do while you're doing this is I can explain a little bit more about my theory. I came up with this theory early on in the podcast called Bread Theory, and I have kind of teased it out over time. We've never really gotten deeply into what bread theory is, and I feel like I'm now ready to reveal more about it.
Okay. I think I have one.
Okay. If you look backward into past historical time. If you look past the dinosaurs, all the way back before the Earth itself.
An oval table set with bread and wine the color of foxglove. And little vases, such as little children dress their altars with in May. In these I poured the wine. But why did he who got the first vase shove his vase away? I stopped pouring the wine, and then, as if a rain cloud spoke, he said, "You've given me a crooked slice of bread."
And that is just literally a poem called A Crooked Slice of Bread by someone called Mary Devonport O'Neill.
Oh, you just actually just read it.
A 19th century poet.
Good.
And Galway woman.
Lovely. I thought it was beautiful.
Thank you. So that's the intro to this segment called Bread Theory. Mm-hmm. And it's my thing that I said, and Jack's now trying to posthumously claim credit for it.
Oh, you believe in it as well.
I don't just believe in it, Jack. It's my thing!
I feel like Bread Theory belongs to all of... I mean, now that I you know, A, came up with it, but B, fully understand it now. And the one thing that is clear from knowing about it is that it belongs to all of us, Tanner.
Jack, I feel like, you know what it's I feel like you're giving me right now? You know what I feel like you're giving me?
What?
Crooked slice of bread.
Well, I guess we don't have time to...
And it was hard as sandstone, and a knife as thin and waving as a blade of grass. And then while centuries seemed to pass, all things had faded, but I tried the task. To
lovely
cut
poem.
Straight, smooth, even slice of bread.
I like how much poetry we have on our podcast now. Tanner, let me read you a passage from this novel. And this ties in with the original sin motif that you and I have been dancing around.
The Con Air stuff, you mean?
Like angels dancing on the head of a pin.
With the Con Air stuff?
With the Con Air stuff, as you call it.
What did John Malkovich do in that movie? I can't remember. They're all just sort of like kid murderers.
No, he's just a murderer, man.
Yeah.
I think Buscemi is... Who's the one in the Silence of the Lambs?
Get Up. I think that was Get Buscemi. Because he's so dangerous.
So Malkovich is bad, but he's not as dangerous as Buscemi. Right. It's a great movie. You should watch it. It's one of the classics. Nicolas Cage...
What if we just, after we ran out of these books, we just did a podcast where we talked about all of the dumb movies that we've brought up over the last 3 years?
I disagree.
We can talk about this. We can talk about Running Man. We can talk about...
Running Man is a classic. Yeah. We could talk about Bright, starring Will Smith and Joel Edgerton, which I still
haven't classic. Seen. How have you still not seen that?
I know. Oh, you know what we can talk about, Tanner, is... I'm going to find where I put this. Where did I put it?
Turtle Power. What?
Is Spectral, the original Netflix movie Spectral. The
Netflix original film.
Check
Spectral.
This out.
There's one a whole Con Air wiki.
No, that's not... No, of course there is. It's a classic movie. Can I tell you this?
Cyrus the Virus Grisham. Ruthless, insane criminal with numerous convictions, including kidnapping, robbery, murder, and extortion. That's John Malkovich's character.
Hey, you just asked for some podcast recommendations, and I just want to recommend my favorite podcast. It's called The Babysitter's Club Club. They one of them reads from the Con Air wiki, just verbatim stuff from it. Like, it's like, you know, Con Air, the movie? He
you remember Con Air?
Sometimes
no, I don't
go...
remember it. Oh, it's the Nicolas Cage movie where they're all convicts and they're on a plane. Anyway.
Listen to this, Tanner. This is one of the theories about what's going on with Janine, because they can't believe it's possible that she has a boyfriend. I told everyone about how I thought someone had been in my room. Nobody took this seriously. Maybe they didn't believe me. After all, my room didn't look all that different to them. Jesse suggested that the FBI must be after me for some reason, and Dawn thought maybe it was the work of a ghost. A ghost FBI agent, Tanner?
Oh, hell yeah. You know what it actually sounds like?
The plot of the original Netflix movie Spectral.
Right, and the plot of the original non-Netflix movie R.I.P.D. starring...
Oh, yeah.
Green Lantern and... Big Lebowski.
That's a bad movie. When I entered our house, Tanner,
Jeff Bridges and Ryan Reynolds. Two otherwise very popular and famous. Kevin Bacon's in this shit.
It's a bad
Mary
movie.
Louise Parker's in it.
It's a bad movie. When I entered our house, I found Janine in the kitchen. She was eating rice cakes and reading a thick, boring-looking book. I pulled my after-school snack, a devil dog, out of my backpack and sat down with the latest issue of 17. Tanner, Claudia is eating a devil dog, and Janine is reading the Necronomicon.
Okay. And Don't you think they're related?
Well, I just think that this book is about original sin.
Right. And when you, I want to know, when you say Janine, Claudia is eating a devil dog, what do you think a devil dog is?
I mean, it's the devil's dog, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it? I didn't grow up in this country.
It's right in the name.
What do you think it is?
I think it's a popular Hostess treat that's like two chocolate cookies with some cream in the middle.
Oh, okay, because that is different, and it kind of gives a different interpretation.
Yeah. And then what about the passage made it sound like Janine is reading the Necronomicon?
A thick, boring-looking book. How would you describe the Necronomicon?
Not boring-looking, because I'm pretty sure in at least the Evil Dead 2, it's got a living face on it that, like, screams at you.
Yeah, that's exaggerated, though.
Yeah. It sounds like Boethius is maybe thick. What she's reading.
Oh, she's reading Boethius?
Yeah. I like that you just said Boethius.
Oh, no!
You got swept up in it. I've got you saying it now, too.
She's reading The Consolation of Philosophy. Well, no, that's not, because it's not thick. The Consolation of Philosophy isn't very long.
Okay.
So it's not Boethius. Maybe it's, it's not Confessions either. That would be great, but Confessions isn't thick. I wonder if there's more Augustine. You know what it is? It's probably Aquinas. It's probably the Summa. It's probably the Summa.
Oh, right. Known anti-masturbation.
Leave Aquinas alone. Seriously. That's so. Anytime he comes up.
Popular
he comes up,
anti-masturbation no. advocate, Listen, Thomas Aquinas.
Anytime he comes up, this is what you bring up. Leave Aquinas alone.
Leave Benny alone! Please!
He hates jerking it.
Tanner, no. That, no, bad.
I suspect that Janine is the phantom phone caller all along.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
And that this Jerry stuff is a smokescreen.
Okay.
We spent the rest of the afternoon playing around with every wild and not so wild idea we could imagine. For every idea, Derek had a plan. How to follow Janine, how to catch her in the act, how to prove she was a bank robber or a jewel thief or whatever. I was impressed by how much Derek knew about detecting. Maybe we couldn't do much that rainy day, but we had a good time. Derek, kid spy.
Yeah.
Derek Masters suspects that she's a jewel thief.
The superb rat.
We catch her red-handed, illicitly using Claudia's phone.
Yeah.
To make illicit phone calls.
Yeah, which is against the fucking law.
Two things that the phantom phone caller did.
Is known to do.
In Babysitter's Club number...
Two.
Three? Two. Claudia and the phantom phone caller.
That is amazing. And guess what we also learned today is that Stacy was so full of original sin that she made phantom phone calls.
And she did it too. Yeah.
And she did it too.
So maybe...
Are we learning that all of these girls are phantom together. Phone callers?
They might be in it together. But Stacy's never been...
They never caught him.
Babysitter's Club mystery number one, Stacy steals
a ring.
Is suspected of stealing jewels.
Like a jewel thief. You know who steals jewels, Tanner? Jewel thieves.
Jewel thieves.
Jewel thieves. It's right in the title.
The only other crime that the phantom phone caller committed that we have yet to confirm or deny about either Stacy or Janine is
jewel
cranking their hogs in the houses when they're stealing the jewels.
Just like Thomas Aquinas.
Just like Oh my God. Oh, all the puzzle pieces are falling into place. Talk about Dan Brown.
Yeah.
Now, this is some compelling narrative.
Well, that's why he was so against it.
Dan Brown?
Aquinas. He knows that it leads to jewel thievery and phone crimes.
Right. It was his guilty conscience. It's like the fucking beating heart in the floorboards.
Oh, it's all there in the text. So,
Thomas Aquinas is like sitting in his bed and the police come and they're like questioning him and he just hears this beat under the floorboards and it's some dude beating off, you know? And wow. He's like, I feel so guilty about this because I hate masturbation.
So let me just wrap this up in a bow for everybody. These bees.
Uh-huh. Good start.
These bees are committing phone crimes, stealing jewels.
Yes.
And cranking their hogs behind our backs.
And under the floorboards.
And Aquinas warned us about it all along. And
we centuries
were too
ago.
Blind to see it.
Yep. And Anne and Ellen out here doing God's work.
Yeah.
Also trying to warn us.
Yeah. But we just couldn't see it.
Right.
Wow.
All in the text.
It's all in the text.
Boethius is in the mix.
Yeah. Wow. Good. Anne made fun of us today.
She made fun of us?
Yeah.
Where, on the internet?
No, in this book.
Okay.
They do this thing, for, and here's another burn on Janine, is that there's this weird moment in the novel where they try to trick Janine into confessing what it is that's weird about her, why she's doing this makeup stuff and doing these phone crimes.
Yeah.
And the way Christy has this idea that they're all like, great idea, Christy. And the idea is that Janine will come over to where Marianne and Stacy are babysitting for the master, for the superb rat. And the superb rat will pretend that he is having trouble with his civics homework.
Right. Yes.
And that his civics homework is that they need to do like a totally accurate, like, legalistic trial.
Yes.
And Janine is like, oh, I think I could probably help with that.
Right.
Which is like, he's 8 and I don't think he has a civics class that's like, that requires like deep.
I don't think he has a civics class.
The law. I don't think he has a civics class. But Janine, despite being the Janinius, is like, okay. So the thing is, Derek was saying when I joined them in the rec room, I'm supposed to stage a courtroom drama and then write up what happened. We're studying the legal system, and my teacher wants to make sure we understand it. Sounds like fun, said Janine. Okay, let's get started, he said. Todd, I think you should be the judge. Janine and me can be witnesses, and Claudia can be a lawyer. Derek handed me the pad. Okay, Miss Lawyer, he said. Let's get started. Tanner, as you may remember, in our earlier podcast about the super specials, we did a number of court-themed segments.
I guess.
Constantly. We were doing it constantly.
I think we did one or two, right?
We were doing it constantly. And Anne is showing us up here about our lack of legal knowledge. We had no fucking clue, and I don't think ever addressed each other as Miss Lawyer or Mr. Lawyer.
Mr. Lawyer, right. You know what I thought you were going to, you know where I thought you were headed with this is the scene continues on with they're trying to like honeypot.
Yeah,
Janine. They end confessing up her crimes,
honeypotting Derek. But yeah,
and then Derek confesses that he has never kissed and does not know how to kiss. And I thought that was maybe how you thought Anne was making fun of us.
No, I have kissed and know how to kiss.
Well, we did a lot of talking about it in the last series, and I'm not quite sure where we netted out. But I'm not sure either of us is doing it correctly.
No. I know how to do it, and I have done it often.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Fine.
Let me ask if this is the reaction when you get when you kiss.
Okay. I do kissing all the time.
You guys are so immature. Hmm. Kissing a girl is no big deal.
Hmm? That's
I've done it tons of times.
Yeah.
Derek spoke with plenty of confidence.
Yeah. That's how I would say it. It's no big deal. I've done it tons of times. Doesn't.
But he didn't fool me. I could tell he was embarrassed, and boasting was just to cover it up. Mallory looked as if she were in shock. You have? She asked Derek.
Yeah.
Sure, he said nonchalantly. Like you are now.
Sure.
I'm an expert. I'll show you.
I'm a fucking expert. I will happily show you how to do it if you need me to.
Ready, Vanessa? He grinned devilishly and started towards her. She shrieked and ran out of the room. Yeah. And so that's kissing.
That's how you do it.
You grin at someone devilishly and you approach them and they
say, ready?
Shriek.
Yeah. See?
Scared my wife. We're fine. I'm fine. I shrieked because Jack tried to kiss me.
She didn't say, should I be worried that she didn't say anything about how you told her that I tried to kiss you? And she was like, oh, I thought it was the dog.
She did. She was like,
oh, okay.
I was like, oh, I shrieked because Jack tried to kiss me. And she said, oh, I thought it was Hercules.
But did you know that they were supposed to be called Mr. Lawyer?
Uh-uh.
Well, it's embarrassing.
I feel like we called it one another district attorney in Latin. I don't even really know what that means.
No, I don't know what it means. We should have said Mr. Lawyer. Anyway, it's just embarrassing, and Anne is trying to
And that's us. Behind us now, though. That chapter is closed.
I know, but Anne just kind of gets a little dig in, like, oh, guess what? This is how it should have been.
Double dig,
yeah. You don't know how to kiss.
You don't know how to kiss, and you don't know what lawyers
are called. What to call a lawyer. Tanner, I think we should leave.
Yeah, I think so, too. Okay. I'm humiliated.
I'm embarrassed.
Anne, you've humiliated me.
You got me, Anne. You finally got me, Anne. I hope you're happy.
Anyway, Baby Nation, check out the film R.I.P.D. Yeah, starring Jeff Bridges and Ryan
Just
Reynolds.
Watch the film R.I.P.D. starring Green Lantern and Big Lebowski. It's an important movie.
Kevin Bacon's in it. Mary Louise Parker's in it.
You're going to love it.
Came out in 2013.
It was in a bar once. That's the only time I've seen it, and it looked terrible. It looked awful. And I like this kind of shit, man.
It's good.
It looked terrible. You know what it looked like? It looked like the movie that whoever made the film Bright starring Will Smith and Joel Edgerton saw, and then they were like, maybe we could just do that, and then they made Bright. Do you think that's accurate?
Yeah, and they're both good.
Okay, good.
They're like, oh, that movie was good. We could do a good movie like that, too. And then he did. Then they did.
Baby Nation, thank you so much for bearing with us. Tanner, thank you for bearing with me.
You're welcome.
Baby Nation, for the love of God, if you haven't already, if you have, thank you. If you haven't, please subscribe to our Patreon. It is but $5 a month, and you get a whole new show every week, and it's very good, and we're really enjoying it, and we want to share it with you. It is about the Little Sister books, and it's tons of fun, and you can find it at
Patreon.com/BSCC podcast.
Check it out if you haven't already. Pull the trigger. Sign up for the Patreon. It means a lot to us. It's a great way to support our work and help us to continue doing this show and also that show.
And to make our taxes more complicated.
Yes, but not by a lot.
Yeah.
Buy our merch. You can find that at bit.ly/BSCC merch, and please rate and review our show on iTunes if you haven't already. Thank you to everybody who has done all of those things or any of those things. We appreciate you, and we love you, and we kiss you, and we love you, and we kiss you, even if you haven't done those things, but please do them.
Yes.
Woo! Tanner, this week we read a novel that was called The Mystery at Claudia's House. Next week, we're reading a little book called Dawn and the Disappearing Dogs. Is it Dong and the Disappearing Dongs?
It's
Is
that... Dong and the Disappearing Dongs.
Okay.
And it's written by Dong Brown. Or at least he did the cover art.
Sounds like it's going to be a fun one. this week, Mystery Babies, I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
Claudia's wearing a bra now. The way she talks, you would think that boys had just been invented. Let me ask you something else, Tanner.
Baby Nation, I've been friends with Jack for a long time, and I've seen him eat a lot of things that are not vegan. Not often. Just sometimes.
Sometimes you get a thing. Let's not get into this.
Sometimes you get a thing, and it's got sour cream on it.
Sometimes you get a thing, and
like,
you ask
well,
for it to not have the sour cream, and there's sour cream on it, and you pick it. We don't have to get into the details.
And sometimes you get a burrito, and it says very clearly on it that it has cheese, and you're like, your friend's like, oh, hey, that has cheese on it. And you're like, oh, I didn't see that. What do you mean?
Outrageous.
And you take a big bite out of it, and you're like, I don't taste any cheese. I don't think there's actually cheese on this.
You've gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not true. And I hate you.
Sometimes you tuck into like,
this is character assassination.
You're like, oh.
Didn't happen.
I'm eating this thing called chorizo, and it's like some kind of like Spanish delicacy. It's so good.
It tastes so much like the steak I ate last night.
And that just happens sometimes when you're
vegan. It must be vegan because I'm
militant vegan. Right.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.